Thank you, Sam, and to echo what Sam had to say, very hearty welcome to all of you. It's really great to be here joined together on this first day of Unleavened Bread. Just such a nice, wonderful, bright, beautiful, shining group of people. So first off, just want to say an obvious tie into the Passover season, but as I go, that'll be more and more obvious. Because first, I want to say, as Christians, we know that we are not to somehow try to be removed. We're not to remove ourselves from this world, as some have tried. But with all the evil that occurs seemingly without end in this world, it can maybe be very, very tempting, and often it is. However, Jesus clearly stated in John chapter 17 and verse 15 when he prayed, and we read this oftentimes at the Passover service, he said, "Not that you pray to God, our Father, not that you should take them out of the world." So Jesus made it clear we're not to try to remove ourselves from the world. He made it obvious we're to do the opposite. But we also know that while in this world, and here's another quote, we shall have tribulation. This was also made clear by Jesus in John 16 and 33. So we're caught in a dilemma, aren't we? We know we're going to be mistreated. We know we're going to be oppressed. We know we're going to experience tribulations just simply for being Christians. And we already have many, and there's going to be more. And it's only normal to want to remove ourselves from such an environment. I mean, of course, anybody would. But again, Jesus prayed the opposite on our behalf. So what do we do? How do we, while in the world, keep ourselves unspotted? And just a quick side note, I want to apologize to some. I gave this about 9 years ago, so it will be a little bit of a repeat, but good repeat, right? For most of you, the vast majority of you, this is brand new. So how do we, while in the world, keep ourselves unspotted, as it says in James chapter 1, verse 27? And in the end, overcome, as Jesus said he had done at the end of, he said that at the end of John 16 and 33. If you want, please turn there. Again, that's John chapter 16 and verse 33. We're just going to read that quick verse. No need to turn there if you don't want. We're not going to read a whole lot. Just simply says, and we're quoting the end of the verse, "Be of good cheer. This is Jesus saying this, I have overcome the world." So how did he do that? Well, brethren, I can absolutely assure you that it's not through revenge. He didn't overcome the world through revenge. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, Paul made that very clear. Let's turn there as well. Romans 12 and verse 19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, and don't give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." So that's not the way we overcome. We don't overcome through hate and revenge, obviously. I'm stating the obvious here, of course. So God says vengeance, though, is his, and that we should give place for that. We should make room for his perfect wrath to repay the wrongs. But if we, through our own anger, try to somehow right those wrongs that have been done against us, then we're not allowed God to do that. And isn't, though, vengeance ultimately what Satan is after? Isn't that how he's motivated, by wrath? And didn't he try once to overtake God? And of course he lost. And we know he plans to try again. He's trying to deceive the entire world to fight against God, to fight against God, to fight against each other. Why? Because he's full of hate. Even his followers are called children of wrath. We can read that in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 3. If you want, you can turn there as well. Again, that's Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. "And you, has he quickened," he's talking to us, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," and of course we understand the prince of the power of the air to be Satan, "that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the world is. So we used to be like that. So it's clear God called us out of the world to no longer be full of hate, as Satan is. And we will, of course, still, again, have those moments, but those are not to last very long. Ephesians 4 and verses 26, it does say that, you know, hey, we are human. We are going to get angry. Ephesians 4 and verse 26, it says, "Be you angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So in other words, resolve that quickly. Let it go. But what happens, though, if the moments of anger are not brief? Let's continue in verse 27. It says, "Neither give place to the devil." So what happens if we don't let it go quickly? We are literally giving place to the devil. It says so here in Scripture. When we hold on to our anger, we allow Satan to greatly, greatly influence us. But back to the dilemma. That dilemma. We know we can't be removed from the world. We can't respond to the oppression, the mistreatments, and the evil with our anger. That would mean the world is then overcoming us. And of course, Satan wants nothing less, since we'd be following suit along right with him. So how do we overcome? How do we win? Jesus gives the answer. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. If you would please turn there with me. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. He says, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. For if we forgive not men their trespasses, though, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, brethren, it's really quite simple when you get down to it. How do we overcome and win? We forgive. In order for our Heavenly Father to forgive us and to enter His kingdom, becoming His sons forever, we must forgive others for their wrongs against us. Forgiveness is the key. But it's not always easy, right? We know this. Satan is a master of hitting us with those fiery darts, the Scripture says, in places that pierce us so very deeply at times. And as a result, sometimes very deep-seated anger and bitterness, if we allow it, can take hold in us. So for the remainder, I'm going to talk about how, just some key points here. How do we do it, though? How do we forgive? What can we put into practice? And of course, before we answer that, just to be completely clear, what is forgiveness? By definition, it just says to stop feeling anger for something, or if someone's done something wrong to us, just stop feeling the anger as a result of that. So how do we stop feeling that anger? How do we let it go when someone's wronged us? So again, five quick points. First, I've already mentioned it, but I'll say it again. We have to let go of anger. Don't be stubborn. Of course it hurts, and sometimes it'll take time, maybe a long time to work through, but keep working at it. God is always there to help and provide guidance. Always ask Him for His help, because through Him we can do it. We cannot do it alone. That's the first point. Second, stop dwelling and thinking about how we were wrong. Stop dwelling on it. Yes, we were wrong. Stop dwelling on it, though. Rather, look forward towards the future. It's possible, well, actually likely, we'll need to prepare for the same type of mistreatment that's going to come again. So if we don't let go of the last one, then they're going to really start stacking up. We can't leave this world, right? Remember, we can't. Jesus prayed the opposite on our behalf. So we need to always be preparing ourselves for the next time. Third, learn who can be trusted and who can't. because we can protect ourselves, right? If we know who we can trust and who we can't, that helps us then to stay away, if at all possible, from those that we can't trust. And then we can then, by that action, protect ourselves. That's not always possible, but if we can do it, it does help. And fourth, everybody makes mistakes. We all make mistakes, right? We don't do it on purpose, or maybe, you know, a weak moment we do and then come back and repent of it, but we all make mistakes. So let's be realistic about what we expect from others. We also are often in need of forgiveness. You know, one of the themes with the Passover season is it requires us to examine ourselves, right? So if we're examining ourselves, it helps us to be in that humble frame of mind. Be realistic. Let people off the hook. Don't hold them to such high expectations, because again, everybody makes mistakes. And fifth and final point, very simple, repeat steps 1 through 4. Repeat. Forgiving others is something we can never and should never stop doing. So keep forgiving, as Jesus does, who so perfectly displayed an example for us while on the cross. Please turn with me, final scriptures, Luke 23 and verse 34. One of the last things Jesus had to say before his death. And we know Jesus overcame the world. And again, the key. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They know not what they do. Forgive them. Us, the entire world, everyone. Jesus said it before his death. He pronounced that forgiveness across all of mankind at that time, all mankind that have ever existed. And by doing so, he overcame the world. So let us follow his example always. Let us always forgive, a constant state of forgiving. And if we need to forgive ourselves, definitely include that too. Well, as Jesus forgave, let us do the same. As his shed blood covers and forgives us all our trespasses, let us always forgive others theirs. Follow Jesus' example. Forgive. Overcome. Forgive.